The topic for tonight is Kisui Adam. Now, Kisui Adam is perhaps one of the lesser known mitzvahs. Every time one shechts a fowl or a non-domesticated animal such as a deer, which are ofos and chayos, fowl and deer and that type of thing, then one has to, after shechting the animal, cover the blood which comes out from the neck at the time the shechita is performed. This is not true about behemos, not about cows, not about sheep, not about goats, any type of domesticated animal. One is not required to do kisui adam upon. One is only required to do kisui adam upon these quote-unquote wild animals, which are the fowl and the chayos. So the question is, of course, why the distinction between the two, and why, in general, we have the mitzvah of covering the blood of the chaya and the oaf. What is the time? What's the rationale for this mitzvah? So, to begin with, there's a very interesting Rikanti. The Rikanti here is on top in the English on page 1 from Rabbi Chill's book. The Rikanti says the obligation to cover the blood of a dead animal applied only to birds and wild beasts, but not to domestic animals. Rikanti attempts to explain the distinction by suggesting a basic difference between birds and wild beasts on the one hand and domestic animals on the other. This is very interesting what he writes. Birds and wild beasts live by the laws that God designed for them, independently of the needs or wishes of the human species. Domestic animals, by contrast, live mostly as servants of men. Rikanati's view is that the animals that are closely identified with nature should be accorded greater respect than those which have been made subservient to human masters. This, according to Rikanati, is the reason why the law to cover the blood of a dead animal does not apply to domestic animals. In other words, basically, we are given here a command, or we're given here a suggestion that one should be more respectful of those things which live in the wild than those things which are domesticated. I guess because they are free spirits, so therefore they are more noble. Now, this, of course, would be a very good Rikanti for all the environmentalists and all the animal rights people, but be that as it may, it's an interesting idea, and perhaps we'll understand a little bit better in the context of the rest of the things we'll see tonight. But first, I want to show you a very simple svara, which is written here by the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch is in the bottom part here, in the third column, towards the bottom of the column. The Sefer HaChinuch says, L'chasus Adam achar zvichas chaya o'of, to cover the blood of an animal after you shecht a chaya or an oaf, in other words, the wild animals such as the deer or the fowl. Mishor she mitzvah, the roots of the mitzvah are l'fisha nefesh tliya b'dam, since the life force is contingent on blood, or rather rests in the blood. V'lachein roi lo l'chasus ha-nefesh, therefore it's proper for us to cover the nefesh, ulastiro mein rov, and hide it from the eyes of people who might behold it, terem necha abasar, before the flesh is eaten. Ki gam bezeh nikne achzorius b'nafshenu, this will generate cruelty within us, lecho abasar v'nefesh nishbach l'faneinu, to eat the flesh at the same time that the soul, in other words the life force, is spilled before us. In other words, according to Sefer HaChinuch, and of course he has this approach to many mitzvahs, it is a form of cruelty. It's not cruel to the animal, the animal's already dead. It's a form of baseness and a trait which would be found in cruel people to not have the decency to cover the life force of the animal before you eat the animal. In other words, Ephraim and Achai would be a similar idea, to eat something without first preparing it and separating itself as much as you can, separating the food as much as you can from the state in which it was alive, you're being more cruel. You're eating something which is more alive, less dead. So therefore, that generates within a person a trait of cruelty. Therefore, one is supposed to make a preparation for eating by separating oneself more from the animal, the live state, and realizing that we can only have this benefit of the animal when it's dead by covering the blood. So why not cover the blood of a behemoth? Uvehemos, in domesticated animals, lo nitzavenu bekach, we weren't commanded to do this. Vishadama behemo nitza lekapara nafshosenu, because the blood of a behemo was given us to atone on our souls. In other words, most of the karbanos are from behemos. The overwhelming majority of karbanos are behemos. And therefore, v'yiv shalom l'chasoso, if we had to cover the blood of a behemo, we would never be able to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, which is one of the basic requirements of bringing a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, Va'acha shekain, since that is so, lo ratzta Torah l'chalik ben mukdashin l'tzul chulin, the Torah didn't want to draw the distinction between behemos which are brought in the Beis HaMikdash and behemos which are eaten by people. And therefore, the Torah in general never required kisei adam for behemos. V'im gam b'mina ofos yesh karev l'gab b'mizbech. Maybe somebody will ask, well, there happen to be fowl which are also brought in the mizbech. So therefore, why did the Torah require us to cover the blood of a fowl if there are some of them which are brought as karbanos and their blood also has to be poured on the mizbech? Says the Sefer Chinuch, Muatu, there are relatively few birds which are brought as karbanos. The overwhelming majority of karbanos come from domesticated animals such as cattle and sheep. Okay, that's the Sefer Chinuch, and that seems to be a relatively simple reason. Now I want to show you a couple of very interesting midrashim. The Midrash says here, at the bottom of the second column, at the bottom, the Midrash Rabbah says, Umi kavru es Hevel. Who buried Hevel? Everybody remembers that Hevel was Cain's brother who was killed by Cain. Who buried him? Rabbi Lezer ben Pedos. Rabbi Lezer ben Pedos said, Ofos ha-shamayim v'chayos tohoros kavru. He was buried by the birds of the heavens and the chayos, the deer and such like, which are tar. V'noslam HaKadosh Baruch Hu scharn, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them their reward. Shtei brachos shemevorchen aleihem. Two brachos which we make on ofos and chayos. Echad l'shchita, when you shecht an animal, you make a brach on the shchita. V'echad l'kisui adam. And furthermore, when you do the kisui adam on the of and the chayot, you make the bracha on the kisui adam and the actual covering of the blood. Now, as a parallel, Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma, you've skipped down a paragraph from where we were just reading, you'll see the Medrash Tanchuma. B'shoa shohara Kain is Hevel. At the time when Kain killed Hevel, Hoya Mushlach. Kain was lying there. Hevel was lying there. V'lo yoyodem al asos, and Kain didn't know what to do with him. Zimla Kodesh Baruch Hu shtei ofos torim. So Kodesh Baruch Hu brought before him two ofos which were tahar. V'horak echad mehem es chaveru, and one of the birds killed the other bird. V'chofar biyado, and then the bird who killed the other one dug with his claw and buried the dead bird. V'menu lamad Kain, from this incident Kain learned, v'chofar v'kovar es hevel, and he dug down in the ground and buried hevel. L'fichach zochu ofos l'chasos es daman, and therefore birds merited having their blood covered. Now, of course, the Midrashim are somewhat different. The first Midrash, both the Chayos and Ophos participated. And they were the ones who buried Hevel. In the second Midrash, only the Ophos participated, and they only showed an example. They weren't the ones who actually buried Hevel. But the idea is the same. In both of these cases, the Chayos and Ophos were involved in the process, in the procedure of ensuring a burial for Hevel, because otherwise Cain didn't know what to do with the first dead body in the world. And since that was the case, they rewarded subsequently with the mitzvah of kisui adam. Now here we see a very interesting thing. We see that the mitzvah of kisui adam and the mitzvah of kvura, the mitzvah of burying a dead person, are linked. The question is what the linkage is. We'll explain it in a few minutes. First, let's see another introduction here. Let's see the Maharal. Now the Maharal is very interesting. Maharal. Maharal is going on the bracha Bilam. If you turn the page, it's Maharal Netzach Yisrael. The Maharal speaks about Bilam's bracha, where he said, Mimana for Yaakov. Who counted the dust of Yaakov? Okay. That's the bracha which, or the dirt of Yaakov is a better translation. That is the bracha which Bilam gave to Am Yisrael, one of the brachas which he gave them in the parasha which speaks about all those brachas. So, in the Medrash, there are several Midrashim which discuss this pasuk of Mimana for Yaakov. And I want to show you a couple of them, which the Maharal explains. Starting from the second to last line in the first column, on the second page, Uva Medrash Od. In the Medrash also it says, Vaya Zarecha Kafar Aretz. Your progeny will be like the dirt of the land. Ma'afar, just like the dirt of the land, Enu Mizbarech El B'mayim, is only blessed when it comes into contact with water. Kach Banecha, so to your sons, Einam is barchim elu b'torah. They only are blessed when they come into contact with Torah. Shanim shlo l'mayim, which is likened to water. Ma afar mechale kol klei mateches, just like dirt destroys all metal objects. And what do you mean by that? We mean that metal farm implements, which are used to hoe and till and harvest, eventually wear down. You know, you constantly strike the ground with them in order to soften the ground, in order to be able to plant and harvest, and eventually they wear it down. Although they seem stronger than the ground at first, over time, the ground defeats and overcomes the metal implements which are used against it. Okay? Kach banecha, so to your children, Am Yisrael, Mechalim kol ovdei kochavim v'mazolos will destroy, or eventually they will outlive all the goyim v'en kayamin le'olam, and they will live forever. Ma ofar hu daish le'olam, just like the dirt is trodden by the world, apanecha daish le'machus, so too your children are trodden by the kingdoms of the world. Adkan, this is the end of the Midrash. Hinei, says the Maharal now, Biru b'zeh shloshot varim, the Medrash explains to you three ways the Yisrael domin al offer, in which Am Yisrael's like offer. In Yon Rishon, the first way is, ki offer miyuchal l'kabo dovri milamala. Dirt is uniquely qualified to receive things which come from atafet. Why? Because what's the lowest thing in the world? Dirt. So what receives everything? Dirt. Everything flows down and comes down into the dirt, which is the lowest thing. Okay? Kimbo amayim shor l'minesh mayim, such as the waters which come down from the sky. Kach Yisrael miyuchonim l'kabel dvorim elyonim, so to Am Yisrael is uniquely qualified to receive lofty things. U'miyuchal l'zeh dovra kotam yoser, and it's suitable for this, the lowest thing in the world. Ki mishum gad loso, eno ba'al kabbalah, because something which is big doesn't receive. If anything, it places its burden on others, but it doesn't take in. Ha'inyan sheni, that's the first matter. The second matter is, Masha Omar Sha'ofar Mechal Matechas. That's what it says, that the dirt destroys or outlives the steel or the metal. V'kayamis, and it survives and persists. V'kach Yisrael Mechalim Ovdei Kochavim Mazolos, so to Am Yisrael outlive the goyim. V'dover says this Maral Inyan Nifla. It's an amazing analogy. Ki Ha'umos Nimshlu Matechas, what do we see here? The goyim are likened to metal and steel. Shari Daniel Ra Malchus Bavel Shazov, Daniel in his vision of all the kingdoms of the world which are coming to conquer Am Yisrael saw the Babylonians as gold. Malchus Modai Shokesev, the Medians as silver. Malchus Yavon and the Greeks shown the Choshes as copper. The Ra Malchus Revis, and he saw the fourth kingdom, that of Rome, Parzula, as steel. The Dovers, and what? Why is this? Ki Kol Matochos Mashmiakol. All metals make noise. All bells are made out of metal. Why? Shashmoas kol v'dovra nishma nigle. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Shashmoas kol, something which makes noises. V'dovra nishma, something which can be heard. Nigle is open and revealed and superficial. Vein lo inyan pnimi. And it has no insides. What's a bell? It's hollow. Right? It has no content. No pnimius. And the kashakol dovar pnimi, anything which has content, anything which has contains, eno nishma is not heard. Ruvneki koach hamalchios ein koach shlem pnimi nistar, and since the strength of the kingdoms is not within them, in other words, they have no depth and inner light or inner content. Rak koach nigel, all they have is their superficial power. Lekachim domin lematocho shemashmiya kol. That's why they're like metal, which gives forth noise. Am Yisrael, but Am Yisrael are heim hefechze. They're the opposite of this. Sheim domim lechov ofar, and they are therefore like chol, like sand, and ofar, and like dirt. All right, I'm going to skip down a little bit. Let's skip to the 10th line from the bottom of this column. The last word in the line, there's a period before the word v'dover. V'dover zen, there's another analogy between Am Yisrael and dirt. V'dover zen, what is this? Gam ki mitzara dakus v'akatnu sheish l'afar. Dirt is very small. The smallest particles known to us, the smallest objects, are particles of dirt or of sand. Right? They're much smaller than most things you normally come into contact with. Of course, there's a lot of it, but it's very, very small. What's the symbolism of the fact that dirt is very, very small? Each particle is minute, microscopic. Why? It's very small and tiny. That's why its voice is not heard. It has a hidden inner meaning. And now it will also be explained now why offer is unique in this quality more than anything else. And therefore it says, that Am Yisrael has the quality of dirt, whose voice is not heard.
V'lachein megam mechalin es koch ovdei kochovim azos, and therefore they outlive the goyim, shekoch shlem koach nigle, whose power is a reveal power. K'mar al-matocha zezeh shemashmiya kova nigle, like these metals who have this sound and are revealed. What's the Maharal saying? The Maharal is saying that since the dirt is very small. Now, I don't understand exactly how this works. But he says, since the dirt is very small, that symbolizes that dirt is very, very internal, very, very deep. I don't have any real idea as to how the symbolism works. But the Maharal explains it a little bit better in a moment. The Maharal says, Mitzad ki ofer iktana mikol yisodis, because ofer is very small. I'm sorry, I skipped. For the correlation between Amitzon and Ofer is Mitzad ki Ofer yiktan mikol yisod, since dirt is very small. Bishvil kach yesh lo Ofer b'china zos, therefore dirt has this aspect shenaseis dayish lakol, that it is trodden by everybody. V'yesh lisol shtei b'chinas mechlokos, Amitzon has two distinct aspects. Ki mitzad hakadu shalem yesh lem maila Elohis elyoina, since they're very small, they're very divine. Now here explains a little bit. Kiroi elamailo Elohis. It's suitable for the divine advantage and divine high level. Hakatnus, that something should be small. Yosem nagalus, rather than it should be big. She skulas ageshem. Big things are more physical. Small things are less physical. So the smaller a thing it is, the less gashmius it has, the less physical it is, the more divine it is. So dirt being so small symbolizes things which are much more divine. So Am Yisrael is likened to dirt for yet another reason, because since his dirt is so small, therefore it's much less gashmius, even though there's a lot of dirt. But it's a lot of small particles. And therefore it means that there's very little gashmius in connection to the metaphor of dirt, and that's why dirt is used to symbolize Am Yisrael. Okay? So therefore he says, V'lachein ha-koton she'en lo rocha godol. Therefore, a thing which is small, which doesn't have great distances and great volume, who korvel biti gashmi, is close to being non-gashmiistic. V'chein akadu she'esh lahem, and therefore our smallness, the fact that we're a small nation, ki d'chsiv, like it says, lo merubchem mikol amim choshek Hashem b'chem, not because you are great that Hashem want you, ki atem at, because you're small. V'dovah said, roi lam l'Yisrael, this is suitable for Am Yisrael. Ki krovim ela bilti gashmi, if we are a big nation, that would mean we're a very physical nation. Why are we a small nation? To demonstrate that we are not connected to Gashmius. Small things are more precious and small things are more supernatural. Okay, so he says, that's also why we're downtrodden. The flip side of being small and spiritual is that we're small and oppressed. They go together. That's what happens to dirt. And now he explains that this is now it's explained to us that Ofar has this quality, sheesh lo'im p'nimi, that has this very inner quality, dak, it's small, and it's nistar, and it's hidden, v'dovizei adum od l'vinim, and this is very well understood by people who understand things well. And I have to tell you something, by the way, it's completely on a tangent. When I first got into Machshava, I started out, what happened was that when I was in Israel, in the Mir, in 1984, so I started reading Rav Huttner's autobiography, which just came out then. It's a very impressive book. It was written by his daughter. Very impressive book, and I was very much moved to read, as a result, Pachad Yitzchak, which are Rav Huttner's svarim. And after a while, I decided that Pachad Yitzchak is very nice, but it's very long-winded, and it's high on style and short on content. It's good, but it's a little bit, I wanted something more compact. So I started, when I came back to the Mir in America, I started learning Maharal in 1985. And then I went down to Baltimore one Shabbos and spoke to one of the rabbeim, the Rav Nachum Lansky, who's a very big Maharal Machshava, and he said, listen, you're not going to enjoy Maharal. A, it's very dry. B, it's very difficult to understand. So it's much better to learn Reb Tzadok. Because Reb Tzadok is much more alive, and it's much easier to understand. So then I kind of shifted away from Maharal and started learning Reb Tzadok. But nonetheless, and you see this when you learn a Maharal, it's a little bit more difficult to understand the concepts, even though they're very similar than they are to understand in Reb Tzadok and other similar sources, like the Sfas Emes and others are similar to Reb Tzadok. But what I believe the Maharal is saying here, after getting through it, is three basic things. One is that low things receive, and therefore the dirt it receives, since it's the lowest thing which we have, even beneath the oceans, ultimately you have dirt, which is the foundation of everything. Metal is loud, and loudness is superficial. It has no inside, it has no content, and that's why the goyim are likened to metal. However, on the other end, the metal chops away the ground, and it does inflict temporary damage, but ultimately the ground outlasts the metal. Dirt is made up of tiny particles, and tiny particles are more spiritual, because things which are tinier have less physical substance to them. Large things are more physical. The Maharal then goes and explains a little bit more, and the next few lines, I don't understand what he's saying, I'll read it to you. I don't understand what he's saying. He says, you'll find in dirt that which you won't find in any other yisod, any other element. Dirt is uniquely inner, upnimi, inside, l'chol yisod is more than any other element. V'hu batoch shalahem. And it is within them. Shazem oreh, that this demonstrates ki yesh l'afor inyan pnimi, that dirt has something internal, inner, something deep. I don't know what he means by that. But it's trying to prove again the point that dirt is within, and therefore dirt is more represents something more spiritual. So as a result of all these things, says the Maharal, we see that dirt is something which is a good analogy, a good metaphor to use for Am Yisrael. We are like dirt in that we receive the water, the Torah. We are like dirt in that we wear down and we outlive the metal implements, the goyim. And we are like dirt that we are downtrodden and oppressed. And on the other hand, we're like dirt in that we're more spiritual. Okay. So says the Maharal, what follows from this naturally? If that's true, says the Maharal in the next paragraph, in the third line, next paragraph, since dirt is so wonderfully deep and so wonderfully meaningful, so wonderfully good as a metaphor, that's why the dirt is a good thing to perform mitzvahs with. Mitzad sheyesh l'ofar inyan royal mitzvahs. Dirt is suitable for mitzvahs. Ki adakus asher yesh l'ofar, the smallness which dirt has, hi madrega pnimis, is an inner madrega. Korav al-davar nivdal makes it almost something which is separate from gashmius. It's interesting, because you would think of dirt as the most physical, dirty thing. But he says, no, dirt represents true spirituality. And therefore we have many mitzvahs. Uva Medrash, the Medrash says, Mimun Afar Yaakov, who counted the dirt of Am Yisrael? Miyuchal Imnos HaMitzvahs, who can count the mitzvahs, Shem Oisim Barfor, which we do with dirt? Lo Tachrosh B'shov V'chamor Yachtov, you shouldn't plow with an oxen and donkey together. Lo Caesar Karmachal Kilayim, you shouldn't plant your vineyard with other grains. Vosat Ishtohar, this is talking really about Afer Parah. But Afer and Ofer are related. The ashes of the Parah do related to dirt, as we'll see later on. Shlosh Hashanim Yilucho Arelim, Orlo, Umina Ofer, Sherbakarka Mishkan, the midst of Soita, which takes from the dirt, Arkan, that's the end of Medrash. Be'eru B'zegakin, they explain this Medrash. Kimasha Omar, Mimun Ofer Yaakov, when he said, who counted, Bilam said, who counted the dirt of Am Yisrael, Hayim Mishabeach. He was praising, Mashi Yisrael, Nimshalim Lo, for that which Am Yisrael is like to dirt. And this demonstrates the high madrega which Am Yisrael has. Asher mitzad zeh, since this is true, yesh lehem mitzvos yoser b'ofer, we have more mitzvos that have to do with dirt. V'zeh shomru gamkein, and that's also what it says in another medrash, the Alkei Shimoni, ki ra Bilam ofer amidbar mechusa barolos Yisrael. Bilam saw the dirt of the desert covered with the foreskins, the orlos of Am Yisrael. He brings down to the Alkei Shimoni, there's a minog, that at time bris milah, they take the orla from the child, and they bury it in dirt. They bring the Moyel brings along, I think, a box of dirt. What? Afar, yeah. It's Afar, not Afar. It's ashes? But yeah, well, in any event, the Medrash here says Afar. And they put it in the dirt. And it's a similar idea. Afar is more suitable for mitzvahs. And therefore we have this matter, we put the Orla and blood from the Bris Milah in Afar, in order to signify the holy level of Ofer. V'inya mitzvah zo, so now the Maharal comes to Kisui Adam. Now the Maharal is going to play a trick on us. Okay, you'll see in a moment. V'inya mitzvah zo, k'mosh amar Torah, k'asher shofach dam achaya v'of, asher shofach dosa. And that's what the Torah says, that when you spill the blood of a chaya or an oaf, or of the wild animals, or of the birds, when you shech them, then you have to cover them, right, with dirt. V'elu shneh, meaning why these two types? Since a deer is fleet-footed, that shows us that its nefesh, its soul, is particularly unearthly. It's very, very distant from the dirt. Why? Because dirt is very slow. It's slow, so slow that it's inanimate. The faster things are, the more diametrically opposed they are to dirt, the more dissimilar they are to dirt. Animals which are domesticated, such as cattle and sheep and all that, they move slow. They're more ofardic. Animals which move fast, like chayos, are less ofardic. Because anything which has to do with the dirt is by nature very heavy. Whereas chayo and of, ein lo kfeidus ha-teva, do not have this heaviness in their nature, kamo sheyesh lo behema, which a behema has. Sheyesh lo kfeidus ha-teva, which is heavy by nature. V'zemor, and this demonstrates, sheyesh behem yisod ofer, that behemas are clearly from the element of dirt. And therefore, ein tzarich kisa be'ofer. So I bring coals to Newcastle, right? They're already dirt. They're already ofer. What's the point of covering them with more ofer? Chayos, no, they're very fleet-footed and light. They're not ofer. So therefore, we have to cover them with offer. Now, why? What's the point? You'd think the Maharal is about to say that the chaya and oaf, so to speak, this is what I would have thought he was leading up to the punchline, the chaya and oaf, since they have this tremendous maila, that they're not slow, they're not heavy, but rather they're fleet-footed, so we want to infuse the dirt with that special maila that it shouldn't be heavy, shouldn't be stationary, but rather it should be inspired and driven and light-footed like the deer and like the fowl. That's not what the Maharal is about to say.
Maybe
the Balgaiva could be. It's similar to what the Maharal is going to say. So now he says, really, all blood of Shechita should be covered with dirt. The blood of Shechita was too revealed. Why was it too revealed? Because it came out of the animal. It spurts out of the neck when you shech the animal, right? It's too revealed, right? So, kasher shafach dam b'shchita, when you spill the blood in shchita. Kein roi lo dam shu nefesh ha-goli kol kach. It's not suitable for blood, which is a nefesh, to be so revealed. L'chein tziva b'torah, therefore the Torah commands us, l'chassos ha-dam shel chai v'ov, to cover the blood of the chai and ov, she'en lem kveda sateva, since they don't have this heaviness, which would kind of present to us a cover for their blood. Therefore, we have to cover them l'chassososom b'ofer. We have to cover them with dirt. Ki ha'ofer yesh lo inyan ha-hester, because dirt will then cover and conceal v'akisoyin and hide kasher amanu l'chol amala. Like we said before, sharei ha'ofer upnimi v'tolcha yisodos sharei kula mibachutz mibivnim. And here he says something which to me is completely unintelligible. He says, why is dirt like this? Now, I would think just because dirt is heavy. No, and dirty. He says, no. Because dirt is pnimi, is inner, and within all the elements, that all other elements are external, and it's internal. I don't know what that means. No idea. No idea. Therefore, he says it's suitable that you should cover the blood of the orla with dirt, gam kach also. Ki gam zeh dam shvichu, that's also blood which was spilled and was improperly revealed. V'azamar bilom gmimono afar Yaakov. How great is Amisol, that which they're likened to dirt, and therefore they have a lot of mitzvahs which have to do with dirt. Now, obviously, we have a great deal of difficulty with understanding what the Maharal is saying. We'll come back to it in a few minutes. I want to confuse you a little bit more before we come back and try and understand what he's saying. Okay? Let's turn the other page. Let's learn a little bit more Maharal. Now, we saw before, of course, in the Medrash, had to do with Kain and Hevel, that Kisei Adam is a mitzvah which correlates and corresponds to the mitzvah of kvura, which we have by a human. What is the mitzvah of kvura? How is kvura important to a human being? Says the Maharal, this is from the Maharal from Gurari, which is his commentary on Rashi and Chumash, that, first to tell you what the Rashi says that Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Yisrael Adam Ofer Min Adama, Kadosh Baruch Hu created man from the dust, the dirt of the land. So it says there that in Rashi that Kadosh Baruch Hu gathered dirt from all the four corners of the earth, so that wherever man dies, the earth should accept him and he should be capable of being buried. That's what Rashi says. So the Maharal says, listen, animals were not made from dust from all four corners of the earth, and we can bury them just fine. Works. So why all of a sudden by the man do we have to have tafka afar, dirt from all corners of the earth? What's the need for it? Why is it necessary? So says the Maharal, this is telling us Yisoid. Let's see the Maharal in the second column. Shom take all tosso. Avo behema, an animal. Avo gav the lishaloni vrom mikol oilam. Even though it wasn't created from the whole world, hadama koyli tosso. You know, you pass animals, pass animal cemeteries. A lot of animals buried there. They managed to be buried very well. The ein kavura shayach ben behema. Oh, so the pshat is no. Kavura burial doesn't have anything to do with animals. Avo ba'adam shayach kavura, but by mankind, kavura burial is very relevant. The chesiv it says ki kavarti kavrenu. You should bury man. And it's an edge you learn from this, the kvuras of our mitzvah. That to bury in the dirt is a mitzvah. Shenema, that's why, of course, we're against cremation. Shenema, as it says, ki ofar ata, you are dirt, ve'al ofar tosha, we return to dirt. Now, says the Maharal, v'im lo shenivram in kol olam, lo yashava adam, ve'lo ofar liosim adover echon. What is important here, the puzzle is emphasizing, is not that it's possible to bury man, but rather when man is buried, he fuses. He becomes one with the dirt of the land. Okay? He becomes one thing again. V'davar niflan, this is an amazing thing, l'mevin sarak for it, the people understand the secret of burial of Adam. V'eina kavana shetoyle b'kvura davka, it's not shot that one has to be buried. Sheikam shalonik brew, many people were not buried. Rak nidbu, they drowned or burnt, whatever. Aval kavana, but when we say royal kvura means he's suitable to be buried. Arminon. That's what you mean. Ki Adam royal kvura, because man is suitable for kvura, ki yesh, Because kvura means covering something, preserving something, that it should last for the future. And since man has the power to live in the future, he should be buried in the ground. Because burial, which is preserving and saving, you know, in the old days they didn't have refrigerators. I don't know if you know about this. Refrigerator is a relatively recent invention. So before that refrigerator, so they want to keep vegetables fresh, they bury them in the ground. It's called hatmana. Gemara has several sugyas about what happens if a vegetable which you buried in the ground started sprouting roots. You didn't want the sprout roots, you wanted to preserve it, but you couldn't preserve it any other way. You buried it and Nebuch started sprouting. So now the shaila is what the halachic status of it is. So it says the Gemara, it says the Maharal, the kvura, which is the preservation, shows that man has the potential for something in the future, when the mason will be resurrected. Something which is open and revealed, that has just its present possibilities. Something which is hidden and preserved, demonstrates that has potential. And then I'm going to skip what he says in the middle. He goes on a great deal. That's one thing we see. The first thing he says is that animals are not as singled out for kvura. Man is, because of the potential for tchiyas hameisim. And then at the end, the Maharal goes into a long discussion of this. And just he summarizes at the end. We'll just see a summary. He says a very deep thing. And I'm not sure I understand it fully, but it's worthwhile seeing. He says at the end of this paragraph, going on to the next column, he says, v'zeu shamru, 5 lines to the end of the paragraph. That's that which they said. Shenivra mikol adam is created from all of the dirt. Shetiklo also b'chol makom nori should be able to be buried wherever he is. In other words, if a person dies in Australia, he can be buried in Australia. If he dies in South America, he can be buried in South America. No, if he dies in Antarctica, he should be buried in and be able to be buried in Antarctica. Why is this so important? Why? Not for the literal meaning of it, that otherwise he wouldn't be able to be buried. Like the Maharal said, anybody can be buried anywhere, even animals. Rather, mibne ki adam ukloli. Because man is all-inclusive. Nivra mikol adam is created from all dirt, mipneize, and therefore, b'chol mokom shemeis, any place he dies, ain lo head there. He does not come to naught. He does not become nothing. Ki ain hefsei l'davar shu kloli. Because something which is all-inclusive cannot be lost. V'chol adam anosei shelo. And therefore, all the land is something which he bears and sustains. And understand this very well. Now, what I think the Maharal means is that all-inclusive things transcend and are therefore eternal. Something which is limited is finite, ends, and therefore is not eternal. Something which is not limited because it includes every single thing, by definition, is eternal. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the ultimate all-inclusive, is above and beyond time, who Rishon, who Achron, he's first, last, everything in between, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man is similar to the extent that he doesn't include everything, but includes all Oretz. And we have the Pasuk in Tanakh, which tells us, V'Oretz Li'olam Omedes, that Dor Olech V'Dor Ba, generations come and go, but the land stays forever.
and man who comes from all of the land transcends the land. And if the land lasts forever, so too man lasts forever. And that's the symbolism of burying man in the ground. To say that although you think that man's life has now ended, really man transcends all of this. Man was created including everything, and something which includes everything is greater than everything he includes. And so he includes all of the land, and the land lasts forever, man also lasts forever as well. So the Maharal is saying two basic things here. A, that the fact that something is buried demonstrates that it's suitable for Tchias HaMesim. And by the way, it's similar in that respect, and I think the Maharal might be alluding to this, to a grain. You plant grain in the ground, a seed in the ground, and it sprouts. It doesn't die, it sprouts. Same thing is true about man. You plant man in the ground, he doesn't die, he sprouts. Tchias HaMesim is sprouting forth from the ground. And the other thing he says is symbolic, that since man includes everything in the land, he transcends the land, and he exists forever just like the land exists forever. Now, all this is a lot of information which we learned from the Maharal. Now we have to try and pull together a little bit. We'll see Reb Tzadik in a minute. First, I want to tell you a couple of things. The Mekubalim speak always of four yesodos, four elements. Now we know, of course, that these are not elements; they're all, in fact, compounds. But when they talk about elements, they mean that these are basic building blocks of all things which have to do with creation, especially in the spiritual realm. And these are Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofer. Fire, wind, water, and dirt. Now, in a physical sense, the dirt is, of course, solid. Water is liquid, wind is gas, and fire is something which is in a state of combustion, which is above and beyond all that. Say the Mekubalim that Ofer has two meanings. First of all, Ofer has a negative meaning. Ofer has a very negative meaning, which is laziness. Things which are lazy are said to contain the midah of Ofer, the midah of heaviness, the midah of being stationary and inanimate, that's Ofer. That's one trait which is ascribed to Ofer. The other trait which is ascribed to Ofer is the trait of something like the Maharal says, which receives. In other words, man is made out of Ofer. Your body is made out of dirt. Dirt is a receptacle. It's the lowest thing, everything trods in it, everything is pounded into it, everything grows from it. Your body is a receptacle like dirt. You're given your midos, your character, your personality, your intellect, to impact on your body and see what you can do with your body in this world. So the Eish, Mayim, and Ruach correspond to the wisdom and emotions of mankind. And with these, the wisdom and emotions of mankind, he is supposed to impact upon his offer, upon his physical being, uplifted. Once before, that all mitzvahs are maisius, almost all mitzvahs are physical, tangible mitzvahs which you perform with your hands and with your body. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order that we should be able to use the mitzvahs to make the physical world a holier place, to take the mitzvahs and infuse their kedusha into the offer of the person and the offer of the world. So the offer is kind of the field which you're given to till and cultivate and make sure it's used in the proper way. Okay, so that is what offer represents. On the one hand, offer means atzlus, and it's not a contradiction. Offer which is not used, which is not planted, represents something heavy and dead and inanimate. That's laziness. Offer which is used properly with something which is cultivated and grows, and that is something which is being elevated. Now the Maharal, in essence, is making this idea clear. He's saying that mankind, Am Yisrael, represents Ofer because we can use the potential of Ofer to represent all sorts of other things, not just something which is trodden and barren, but something which has great potential and represents something which is very, very ruchni, something which is very, very spiritual. Now, after we've seen that, let's see Reb Tzadik. Let's go to page 4. I have a little arrow here. Reb Tzadik says, "Dalkein afilu arle Yisrael." I know it's the middle of a thought, but we can start from here. "Dalkein afilu arle Yisrael." Even those who are uncircumcised in Am Yisrael, Nikru Mulim, are called circumcised. Why? Even a person who's a Mumer La'Rolos, in other words, he refuses to be circumcised.
Shein Shomer HaBrisa, he doesn't keep the covenant of Avraham Avinu. Umetame Atzmo, and even if he goes further and defiles himself, V'chol Minei Tumos, with all sorts of defilements, Eif Sharlin not take Shem Yisrael Mimenu, we cannot remove the name of Yisrael from him. Shukach Hayadu Shlo, which is his Judaism. Sheyesh B'Tobo Dodosu, which is inherent within him. Marosha may of us an inheritance, a heritage from our forefathers. Umiyaksha Yitzel Ashuvan immediately when he wants to do tshuva, Kocho Yofe, he has the power, the strength. Leaves are called Kochos Nafshal Garmin Lashem Yisrael to give over all the powers of his soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chanoidan is known, the Bedoros Hashman, generations where there was persecution, Afilu Harbi Miposhe Yisrael, even many of the criminals of Am Yisrael, Masru Atzo Kiddush Hashem, gave their lives in Kiddush Hashem. The Chaim B'Breishis Rabba, and it says B'Breishis Rabba, that such an idea, Gabi Yochum Yishtoros, Yochum Yishtoros was somebody who was not particularly frum, but gave his life al Kiddush Hashem, Chayetze, very famous Maisa. V'zeo Rishima Sadom Ala Pesach. And that's why when they left Mitzrayim, what did they have to safeguard them? They had the mark of the blood from the Korban Pesach on the door. The after Bereish kol marin en adam, even though the Gemara Baba Basra describes a popular saying that which causes all bad things is blood. Now there the Gemara means physically. Physically, most ailments which bother people concern the blood. That's what Reb Tzadok means. That's what the Gemara means over there. Nonetheless, Reb Tzadok says that means another thing on a spiritual sense. Shua nefesh habahamis, the soul of the physical soul, which is represented by blood. In other words, what keeps the body alive, the blood. Shemikocha kol minei rasha baguf, because of this physical trait of mankind comes all the bad which is in the body. Mikol makol, nonetheless. Hey, Moshe Mumakrim Zel Hashem Yisbarach. We even use all our physical forces in order to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, even though we obviously have this impediment, which is all the material and physical which surrounds us and which we're comprised of, nonetheless, the secret of a Jew is to use everything which is material and physical Hashem Shemayim. And therefore, even though blood signifies something which is bad, it signifies the power of the physical world and the physical power of the body. Nonetheless, we use it, we put it on the door by Yetzias Mitzrayim, by the Exodus from Egypt, to symbolize that all forces, even the physical forces, we devote to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea of taking the blood of an animal and sprinkling it on the Mizbeach when one makes a korban. Why? Because we're saying that all the forces in the world, even those forces, which seem to have very little to do with Kedusha, which just have to do with the sustaining the life force of the body, that too we devote and sanctify and bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one thing I wanted to show you. Now let's see the Reb Tzadok on the bottom. Reb Tzadok here says, speaking about Paraduma, he explains first of all why Paraduma is female. He says, where I have it underlined in the second column, V'eimu Shor Shanigla. The mother, I think we might have done this already, the Paraduma. The mother is the revealed source of a child. Mashenkira Av, supposed to a father, who Shorish Anelam. It can't be seen, you do not see. Of course, you see a child born from the mother, but you do not know who's the father. I mean, you have an educated guess, but you don't know for sure. The Ba'olam is Aimavura. It's not clear in this world who the father is. The Iste Chashta. And therefore, sometimes there's suspicion. And he says, V'zeinlem Shaykhs V'kosh Lita Shorish Anelam B'olam Azeh. He says, whatever, this is not important for us. Vayim bazar lech paid out sof of Ralph. The Eu Omar Bishmadi May Vuchule. Why do we mention when we make Mishaberach and such like the mother, the name of the mother? Lekabel Miloi Law to connect into the source. The Eu Vadai, in other words, because it's the mother is for sure the source. I ain't sure. Tomar Gamke. And this also means Akavona Mitzara Kibul de Olam Azeh. When one wants to receive something, Olam Azeh, Hanigle, which is a revealed world, Tzorech Shoresh Hanigle B'Olam Hazeh, we talk about the revealed source, that which is revealed in this world, and therefore we talk about always the mother as being the source. Since in this world one cannot see a father as a source, therefore the mother is always seen as the source. Uve Vehema, and by an animal this is for sure true. Because by an animal, Alocha Loshayach Yachas of Klal, there is no relationship between the father and the son, or the child, by animals. And that's why the Isser of Osov Espino, not shechting the parent and the child, cow, in one day, only applies to the mother and the child, not to the father and the child. Therefore,
And even according to Mandam Rosa, we're machmir. We don't pass like this, but like this opinion. But that we're machmir and we don't check the father of the calf and the calf in one day. Nonetheless, it's not because they have yichus. Because since the soul of an animal is only temporary in this world, has no resource. Therefore, it doesn't have this kind of relationship of correspondence to the father, which is something spiritual and something which is hidden in this world, but rather it just has the correspondence to the mother. And therefore, sorfin leifer la por leifer. That's why we burn the por and the eifer. Shubitul shoresh hakoach hazeh the nefesh habamis. What is the source of the animal soul of that which causes averos? And that which causes a person to be drawn to the physical, it's mother. Of course, if this is only symbolic, but the idea is we want to get at the root of the problem. We want to say, well, what causes problems in this world? The animals? What's the root of the problem symbolically? The mother, right? So therefore, we burn the mother, the para. Symbolically negating the source of this strength, which is the animal soul, leroa, which is used for bad, hanatua bilvavos bnei Yisrael, which is planted in the hearts of bnei Yisrael, ad sheshov leifer, until it becomes ashes, shehu yisod pashut. Ashes is a simple element. What does it mean? Dezeu tachlis habitul b'mtzius. Ashes is the ultimate in halacha of removing something from its prior existence, klapi mala, and elevating it to a new existence. Kiderech shomer Avraham, and that's why Avraham Avinu said, "Vanochi afar ve'efer, I am dirt and ashes." Kimitzara kovas arbe sodos. When things made of the four different materials, be they aish, ruach, mayim, afar, come into some type of compound and some type of being, from then we have all different possibilities of evil. Then we have komine bechira, then there are all possible types of bechira of making the wrong choice, unatil etzadim and straying to the wrong sides. Avul be so poshut. But when everything has been removed and all we have is the ashes, the most simple form, who have pashtus, that's complete simplicity, belishum natiya, without swaying at all to any direction. Vizel osvav and says, Rav Tzadok, we have a letter like that in the Hebrew alphabet. The letter vav, shu kav poshut, is a straight line, Belina Teal at studying, which doesn't go at all to sides. Now I know it has a little thing at the top. All right, but that's not obviously insignificant, and it's not like all the other letters. By day abshitus, and by the simplicity, yuchal ispashet ad in case a person can straighten himself. Vilios davuk, and be connected bimkoro in a person's source. Shebezet chozer letachlis abshitus. With this, a person goes back to the ultimate straightness hagamor, which is complete straightness. Believe Shumar Kova Klau without any complexity whatsoever. Utchias Amesim, and therefore resurrection, Efshar is not possible. Achatoshu Va'ofer Lords, until the person goes back and becomes dust, dirt, part of the land, Kshoya, like he was at the beginning. Kamosh Omru Chazal, like Chazal say, Daishu Achaz Kon Utchias Amesim. Everybody has to die at least for an hour before Utchias Amesim. When a person goes back to simplicity, to complete dirt, then a person specifically from there can go up to go up to the highest source, which is also a yisod pashut. Now I'm going to skip down and I'm going to explain in a minute. I'll skip down five lines. Therefore, ephers of the parah, the ashes of the parah duma, the Vitar Atmeim, which purifies those who are Tomei, the Tumas Mace, those who are Tomei and Tumas Mace, Shezikoran Zabalev is by putting this commemoration in one's heart. Hainushiyamik Mizbonus, the person should explore deeply and analyze Levato Kol Kochos Arabim Koran, to downplay and denigrate and eradicate all the powers of evil in their source, Achiyashuvu Ofar, until they become Ofar and Efer. This is what Chazal call wiping the excrement of the Egel Azov, Vishorosh Tinofis, and the source of dirt, disgusting dirt. Zusha believe in one's heart, And then he says, although Shalotis Bayer, Mina Lev Lagamre, it will not be completely eradicated from the heart. At Ace Kates till the end of time, Shivura Yetora Mina Olam, when the Yetora will be eradicated from the world, Viavula Amoves Lanetzach, and all death will cease forever. So Psodic says here something very interesting. He says, we have a pasuk. He doesn't say this, but we have a pasuk which says that Ha'elokim Asas Adam Yashar, man made God straight. Vehema Bikshu Cheshbonos Rabim. And man looked for many reckonings. What does that mean? That means that all of our chatoim come from the fact that we made ourselves complex. What does it mean we made ourselves complex? Somebody, Yonatan, mentioned before that really all chatoim stem from gaiva. What does gaiva mean? Gaiva means that a person is haughty. A person thinks that his existence has independent significance other than being a Eved Hashem, other than being a servant of God. The ultimate in Avodas Hashem would be for a person to be very simple, a person not to have any agenda of his own, but rather just be like a receptacle for Ratzon Hashem. Be simple like the dirt which receives the will of God, the water of Torah, and acts on that basis. That would be called a Yesod Pashut. Something simple without any complexity of haughtiness, of pride, of self-interest. That, in essence, is the symbolism we all know of what mitzvah? What mitzvah symbolizes that? Devoid of any gaiva. Matzah, right? Matzah is devoid of leaven, and it's simple. It's straight, it's flat, it doesn't rise. In order to symbolize that one should be simple and just be a receptacle for Ratzon Hashem and not have one's own agenda. That's the symbolism of matzah. So the idea of death and kvura and returning to afar is, if nothing else, to symbolize to us that a person must lose all the vested interests and aims and goals that she acquired in his lifetime, which were not congruent with the will of God, and become free of all of them. Lose all those external, unnecessary concerns. Become a Yisod Pashut. Become simply somebody who fulfills the will of God in order to be able to be Zochet to Tchiyas HaMeisim. Because what is Tchiyas HaMeisim? What is Olam Haba? What was the world supposed to be like before Adam and Rishon sin? A world which everybody fulfills and therefore enjoys the kiyum, the fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem. So, the Parah Aduma comes to represent this. The source of evil is the sin of Egel Azov. Right? Before the Egel Azov, Am Yisrael reached the level of Adam Rishon before the Chait. They were going to live forever. Came along the Egel Azov, and they said they had their own agenda. They said, we need Elohim Asher Yelchu Lefaneinu. We need a God which is going to be able to go before us and lead us and bring us. It's not good enough for us that Seres HaDibros says, Lo Yelch Elohim Acherim Alponai. So the source of evil was to say that we need something else besides the Torah. So then they need a way of reminding themselves that that's no good, that a person can't have his own agenda, that anything which a person tries to make their own agenda of, a person has to eradicate and burn and turn into ashes, which again connotes to us something which has lost all its complexity, all its being built up, and all of its substance, and just becomes something plain and simple. And that's why we burn the para, the mother of the ego, to symbolize that we're eradicating the source of the problem of sin. So Ofer represents to us, now we see, Ofer and Afer being interchangeable, not just the idea of Atzlus, and not just the idea of something which we try to infuse with Kedusha, but it also represents to us a third thing. Ofer also represents to us returning to a simple connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why things are buried, and that's why a Parah Aduma is burnt. Now, when we come to the blood of the Ofos and the Chayos, they represent good midos. You know, we said before, and the Maharal said, that the Ofos and Chayos, being fleet-footed and light, represent to us midos which are distinct from Gashmius, which are very non-physical, not heavy. They're the opposite of Gashmius. You know, we have at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch says to us, "Have a az kanamer ratz katzvi v'gibor kari la'asos utzon avicha shebashamayim." Right? We have there chayos, a nomer and ari and tzvi are. I'm sorry, left one out. Have a az kanamer ratz katzvi kal kanesher ratz katzvi gibor kari, and az kanamer comes first. I don't remember the exact order, but in any event, all of those are either chayos or ophos, the deer and the leopard. And the lion are all wild animals. And the bird is, of course, the oaf, right? The netcher, the eagle. So we see there that all these midos, which are good for Ovdei Hashem, are midos which have to do with the traits, which have to do with the chayos and the ophos. These are the traits which are good to take and use to cultivate your offer. We take the traits which are represented symbolically by the chayos and the ophos, and we use them the way the Maharal understood ofar. We use them in order to cultivate within ourselves. We plant them in the ground in order to cultivate within us avodas Hashem, not the behemoth. The behemoth represents to us taiva, and represents to us the negative side of ofar, the laziness of ofar. The laziness of the domestic animals which move slowly, and that's something we want to avoid. We don't plant our offer, we don't plant within our souls this concept of a behema. For a behema, we need a special approach. In order to use a behema properly, we have to go a step further. We have to use the behema as a korban and bring the blood to the mizbeach. Only by bringing the blood to the mizbeach can we utilize the blood properly in order to symbolize that a behema needs a special degree of rectification in order to use properly. You explain that we spoke about basar v'cholav, that the flesh of an animal is considered to require much more work than the flesh of a chayer or an oaf, and that's why the Gemara Pesachim says that the flesh of an animal is forbidden to an am aretz who can't use basar properly. So the flesh of a behema, and therefore the blood of a behema, requires much more of a tikkun, much more rectification. It can't just be used as is. It can only be used in the context of the korban in the Beis HaMikdash. The blood of the chai and the oaf, on the other hand, we take and we bury within ourselves. We try and take these traits, and we symbolize that they're good by putting them in the offer and symbolize that we can use them. And when we do that, on the other hand, when we take the proper traits which are more ruchni, which are more spiritual, and put them within ourselves, so to speak, fill our bodies and our world with those traits which are more spiritual, that makes us more suitable for Tchiyas HaMeisim. In other words, what makes us more suitable for Tchiyas HaMeisim is making ourselves more spiritual. And that has to do with the other aspect of the dirt. The fact that somebody is buried in the dirt, and the fact that Adam was made with the destiny to be buried in the dirt, makes a person, symbolizes to us, that a person is going to rise for Tchiyas HaMeisim. The midos which have to do with Ruchnius, with the chai and an oaf, which are fleet and light-footed, symbolize that they are something which are ruchni. And therefore, since they're spiritual, they're connected with the trait of ofar, which connects to us to the fact that we rise to the Chiyas HaMeisim. And getting back, just to close off, to the Medrash with which we began, the Medrash says that the ophos and the chayos participated with Cain in burying Hevel. Either they taught him how to do it, or they themselves buried Hevel. Why is this so? Because the ophos and chayos, which are more ruchni, which are more spiritual, symbolize to us the fact that man is in essence ultimately spiritual and will rise to the Chiyas HaMeisim. And the fact that man is like the dirt in all the positive senses, which dirt connotes, and the fact that man should be buried in order that he should be able to have this Chiyas HaMeisim and go back first to this Yisod Pashut, to being simple and pristine, in order that he should merit Chiyas HaMeisim. So that's the connection specifically between the chayos and the ophos and the kvura, which the Medrash makes at the case of Cain and Hevel. Stop.